The presenting sponsor of Upmarket is Aereo, the best place to grow and manage your real estate media business, online at aereo.com. That's A-R-Y-E-O.com. Coming to you from the makeshift Upmarket studio in the beautiful Ojai Valley of Southern California, this is Upmarket, a podcast about the business of real estate photography and media. My name is Reed Fish. I'm the CEO and a co-founder of Upmarket Media. And oh, before I even say it, Chelsea, my God, are we happy?
Oh, we're happy. Yeah,
Chelsea Froelich, our producer, is here and back from big trip. Mark Corcoran, back from down under.
I'm back. It's good to be back. It was quite a re-entry, man. It was like, it's just so far and so, it takes so long and you're just like, feel like you're coming from another planet almost.
How was coming back to work? We in our last episode, we talked about all the things that happened while you were gone. Mm-hmm. And then we,
it was a good one.
Yeah. We were able to have that Monday morning Zoom call. And
Luckily we had that before you listened to the episode. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think we got it on video, but I think I remember my reaction was just kind of sitting back like absorbing, right? what happened. I was like, what the?
Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot to stomach, but you know, it was fine. I think you felt like, did we do the right thing not telling you about her quitting while you were there?
I mean, yeah. Was it deceptive? Yeah, but did I appreciate it? Yeah. Because, what could I do? It would have just caused me stress. And
yeah, exactly.
But, I did feel the same way that you did, that maybe it was for the best and... That we didn't want to lose an employee, but we did, and we're recovering and doing our thing. So,
yeah. All right, good. All right, well, we have a good episode to come back to because we have listener questions. We've been asking people to kind of DM us or email us or whatever, and we got a bunch of questions that we'll go over. Thank you to everyone who submitted. But first, I want to tell you about something. It's the Shifter Summit. Do you guys know about the Shifter Summit? Chelsea, you don't even know about it, probably.
No.
So Mark, help me out here. Shifter Summit is a conference that's happening in Nashville, and it's happening actually March 6th and 7th. So right after this episode drops. So it's too late to go and it's already sold out. But it is a photography conference, but I think it's more focused on architectural and commercial photography.
Yeah, kind of design, interior stuff.
Design and architectural.
You're using a tilt shift lens typically, which is where the name Shifter Summit comes from, Shifter community.
Right.
Arturo has shifter.com and all that. That's that whole community of
right. And so, so basically though, but there is some appeal, a lot of appeal actually to real estate photographers. And I know at least 20% of the people who are going there are real estate photographers. And here's the thing. We have a little agreement with Shifter Summit and they are offering actually to people to virtually attend. So if you're listening to this before it happens, you can get in there and virtually attend. And it's also going to be on demand after the thing. It's going to be, I assume, online forever. And if you have an access code, you're going to be able to watch all the stuff that's happening at Shifter Summit. And there's a bunch of speakers like Brian Sheffield, Alexandra Abramian, Lisa Patrol, Tanvir Badal, the Shifter Committee.
Yeah. Don't forget Simon Devitt. He's a big deal. He's like the New Zealand guy. Everyone holds on a pedestal, but he does awesome work and you get to see these people one-on-one.
Yeah. And you can go to shiftersummit.com for more information. And guess what? We got a code. Use the code Upmarket. That's one of my favorite codes. I love the code Upmarket. You're going to get $100 off.
Nice.
So I would highly suggest people check it out. Yeah. So shiftersummit.com. Okay. Let me find you guys are going to be very impressed. I put together a Google document with the questions.
Look at you. We don't have to dig them out of Slack.
Nice. I dug them out of Slack and then various DMs and all these different platforms and everything. Okay. So, and I'm not going to say who said the questions. I don't need to embarrass anyone because most of these are really embarrassing. Just kidding. So let's start out with a hot one. I'm interested in your take on HDR versus single shot flambient and the business case for each. Do you think clients notice a difference in flambient versus HDR? And is the additional time spent and on the shoot and in post worth it?
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I have opinions.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
of course you do.
My take is I was in that headspace too when I was a strict flambient shooter, when we first came together and we're trying to figure out what our workflow was going to be. That was my concern. Mm-hmm. What's the time difference? What's the expense? And are the biggest thing is, are the clients going to notice?
Yeah, that was the, yeah.
Is it going to be a dip in quality? And is it going to be noticeable enough where we're going to lose clients? We're going to upset clients.
Yeah.
And guess what? Never materialized, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we made the switch from Flambient to HDR, like 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah. It was after the first PMRE and after we hired a couple of people and tried to figure out how to train them and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've pointed out that we've had zero complaints. No one has noticed whatsoever. And I just think it's like, if you are operating in the strict real estate photography space and you want to scale your business, I mean, it's really, to me, the only way to do it is to do that. It cuts down on the time spent at the shoots and I don't know if it's easier to edit. I don't edit them. So, but the big caveat is that you have to have good editors who know how to do HDR and make it look really good. And we do. And so that has helped us out, you know, cause you can still see bad HDR out there.
Yeah. And there's plenty of people that still, you know, use the plugins for Lightroom or put it through Photomatics or whatever. And that's kind of the old school HDR. Uh-huh. I think our editors are not doing that. They're bringing, you know, the layers into Photoshop and they're hand selecting stuff. And you do end up with a lot of color casting with mm-hmm. HDR stuff, and they take care of that in a certain way. And it just, you know, it looks good.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, no clients will notice. I mean, you might get people in the Facebook groups, noticing or complaining, but I just don't think anyone else is ever going to notice. Mm-mm. So the business case for doing Flambient, then, I would suppose, if there is a case for it. And I think there is. I think if you are cultivating a high-end brand, it will give you, I think, a bit of a different look, potentially. I don't know.
I mean, I can tell a difference, and I can, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, you know, I do like the quality of that look better. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But it's not, there's not a differentiator enough where a client's going to notice.
It's pretty subtle. And, mm-hmm. and so I think if you really in, you know, doing kind of a more Flambient style where you can really kind of put your own stamp on it and your own style on it, I think there is a business case to be made for that. If you're really trying to attract a luxury client or whatever. And then, mm-hmm. you know, there's also, it's like when you're on site, it makes you look more important. It makes it seem more what you're doing. I think it projects more value.
Yeah, there's more of like a production to it, right? With the big flat. Like I used to walk in with a big AD200 strapped on my hip and be popping flashes everywhere. And
like,
And now I'm just like click, 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 click.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then the agents, once they, you know, it comes back and they have to spend less time at the shoot and the product to them is identical and it still comes super quickly. I mean, there's just no, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, yeah, not only did we not get negative feedback, we didn't get any feedback at all. I had to ask clients, like, did you notice anything? Is anything different, better, worse? Oh, the photos are looking really good. Yeah. So it was like, you know,
yeah,
just nothing.
No. And I think that I had a client comment. Yeah. I don't know. I saw her and she was just like, oh, your photos are so much better than they used to be.
Wow.
You know, back when I was doing, you know, I'm from 6 or 7 years ago, when I was doing more of a Flambient method and, mm-hmm. You know, back then, like the window pulls, we do stronger window pulls now. I mean, it's just kind of the standard, it's just kind of what the editors do. And I don't necessarily love it, but I think the mm-hmm. agents love it. I mean, I think the case for doing those strong window pulls is that agents actually really love it.
Yeah. And it's not what their phone photos look like. It looks different. It looks crisper, cleaner. And just like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, it's what the agents like. I think you have to put aside your own personal preference when it comes to this and just go with what what agents are going to like. I mean, I don't know. I think that's good advice. In general, I kind of don't give that advice. It's like, you really should, you know, do something you're passionate about. But with this, it's just, you know, we're just doing a commodity. If you're looking at it as a commodity, then that's kind of what it is.
And, you know, when we did do Flambient and we hired our first employee, he did have experience with flash photography. So he was relatively quick to pick it up. But people we've hired since then, it would have been a much bigger hurdle to train them and the equipment. Yeah. And it's just like the training part would be difficult.
Yeah. Well, and not to give, and that's it. We, you know, when we have four employees and you have to have, and you know, when you have employees, you have to provide the equipment, mm-hmm. you know, then that's thousands in flashes that you would have to have. So,
yeah. And the triggers and my trigger's not connecting. Yeah. You know, you're troubleshooting stuff.
Well, exactly. It takes there's less equipment to malfunction. It's less to keep track of. It's less to get damaged. It's less, I mean, it's, there's so many reasons to shoot HDR.
Yeah. So if you're building out a team, then that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Next one. And it kind of goes thematically with this one. What style of bracketing do you guys do? 3 or 5 brackets?
So we started with 5. I think we just thought, oh, the more the better.
Right.
Give them more information. But then they started our editors requested 3.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that seems, you know, not enough. But we started doing it, and sure enough, it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So we, you know, we shoot 2 under, 2 over, and then 1 in the middle.
Yeah. And I think, I kind of think that actually for exteriors, they're just using the middle bracket. I don't even think,
probably, yeah,
you know, for the most part that they're actually using the full bracketing, but we send it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, cause we use a custom setting on our camera. It's just like, you know, we don't want to like have an outside shooting thing and an indoor. It was just like, we just have 1 way to shoot and that's right. how we shoot. And I think that simplifies it in the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is a good one. Where does Reed get his hair done?
Oh, we're going back to that again. Huh?
I'm not going to say who asked that, and whoever it is, I hate you. But well, Boehm here in Ojai. Yeah, my stylist is Jen, and you know, it's as we've talked about, it's kind of my happy place.
Yeah.
They go, you just get wine in there, and like you get
assistants in there, admins in there, everything, right?
Oh yeah, 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 exactly. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we got
place
Chelsea
has been
from
good
there.
To us.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but Jen's pretty booked up. So like, if you want an appointment, you would want to have to come to Ojai, and then to you know,
someone's trying to poach your stylist, huh?
I could be. Well, they could just you know want to honor her.
Or maybe they've just heard your stories. Now okay. They want to experience.
Well, that could be. That could be. Okay. What equipment what's your equipment kit? Like, you know, what do you use for photo and video?
Who's taking it? I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, have Chelsea take it.
I don't have an equipment kit, so I can't answer that one.
So we shoot on Canon. I've always shot on Canon.
Me too, actually.
Okay. I think when we originally had Dustin, he shot on his own Sony because that's what he preferred.
Oh, for a video, yeah.
Yeah, but now that, you know, we're hiring, providing equipment to all of our employees, we're providing them with Canons. And we switched over to mirrorless a couple years ago.
Yep.
I started originally using the EOS RP, and that's the kit that we buy for our employees. It's not the most amazing camera for video, but I think it does a very good job for video considering what we use it for. And I'm currently at the moment shooting on an R6, which is a little better for video. It has a silent shooting mode. It has a few upgraded features that are kind of nice to have, but we don't definitely need that.
But it's it's a decent amount more expensive than the RP.
I think twice as much you know, 2.5 times maybe, something like that.
Yeah. And well, the thing is the RP is an affordable camera as well. So when you when you are outfitting multiple people with them, it's like, you know, if it's $500-$800 less, I mean, that really adds up.
And for what we do is so streamlined now in our workflow and the way we shoot and using the custom settings on the Canon that.
Right.
And we're shooting on a tripod. Like it's just, it provides more than enough quality and it's just like, we never have issues with that. So.
And then the lens is just the kind of the standard Canon 16-35 or something, or what?
Yeah, so we use the RF lenses that are native to the mirrorless. So I have the 15-35, which is the high end one, and then there's a lower tier like 14-30 something. That's the one that
that's our kind of standard.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's actually better at the camera. The EOS RP camera is light, and then if you have the smaller wide angle lens, it's light, so it's easy for Nikki to use on the gimbal. Like it's just like it was nice.
We are talking technique and gear on the show. That's not kind of it goes against what the mission is. But I think
it's interesting though what people want to know.
These are good questions. And then our stabilizers for video are the DJI Ronin. I don't even know what number or whatever they are.
Yeah, but I'm using the R,
not the super mini one, but we just use the kind of standard size ones. And then our drones are all DJIs and various models. But like I think you have the Mavic 2, right?
I'm still rocking the Mavic 2 Pro that I love. But we have the Mavic Air or the Mavic
Air 2S. Just, you know, in that, $1,000, price point area for the
We haven't used the Mavic Mini, but I know people do and love it. But you know, well, that's kind of the sweet spot we find for drone because we do a lot of video and stills with it. We don't want to go too small because we do get a fair amount of wind and we don't want that thing rocking around up there like a bumblebee.
Right. And then we have a couple Matterport Pro 2s and we have one Pro 3, which is pretty sweet. And then I think that's.
And then, yeah. Tripods, we use the Benros that we like. And
right.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey guys, your podcast always sounds so great.
Oh, thanks.
Wow. Can you detail what you actually use for equipment for the podcast?
Good one for you, Reed.
Yeah,
take it in. Is.
Okay. Well, we use microphones. And so we record everything on the Rodecaster Pro, and we have the original version. There is a newer version, the Pro 2 or whatever it's called. And it's honestly, it's fantastic. It's just kind of a plug and play thing. I mean, there's a minimal setup, but it does have a lot of things you can do with it. You can use a lot of different kind of mics with it. You know, it's XLR mics, but then there's also inputs for computer. There's a Bluetooth hookup. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can use it. I feel like we basically use the basic settings and don't really, you know, we're not unleashing its full power.
Mm-hmm. I like the big red record button. That's yes. Like, you know, even though we've missed it a couple times, it's like, it's pretty hard to miss. Like,
yeah, completely. And then, you know, and it looks colorful and like people mm-hmm. walk in and they're like, whoa, that's mm-hmm. a new, you know, it's yeah, like, what are you guys doing?
A sound studio.
Yeah, here. Exactly. Exactly. So it does, it exudes professionalism just like us.
What does it have? Four inputs. So we can have,
yeah, four XLR four inputs, guests. But then you can have, but then you can do phone and you can do, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can, it's a lot of different ways you can input sound into this thing. And then you can record, you know, like if you have a theme song or whatever, you can actually there's programmable buttons on it that then you can press and mm-hmm. it'll, you know, sound effects or clips will come up, which we don't utilize. We put all the songs and everything else in post-production.
We need some sound effects.
Well,
we make a joke.
Yeah. Oh,
how would you be relentless?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Bethany occasionally will throw one in. She'll joke around. So, and then our mics, we use XLR mics, and these are the podcasters, the Rode podcasters. So, you know, Mark demands that we have everything has to come from down under. So, Rode is, you know, Australian company.
That's right.
Good day, mate.
These are pretty basic. I mean, they're $100 mics, and they sound really good. I get a little frustrated because I see, you know, other people podcasting and they're not using these mics and they're further away from the mic. I feel like we have to get a little close in mm-hmm. because, you know, and so right now I'm talking about, you know, an inch away from the mic.
Yeah,
and
then
if I just come back right there, it really changes the depth and tone of the voice. And it doesn't sound as good when we're listening on the headphones. And I've mm-hmm. noticed, you know, in the post-production process, it's harder to bring that up as well. So I feel like we're in on our mics more than I see other people. So
yeah.
I'm wondering if we're, you know, one, maybe doing something wrong or should use different mics or should just, I don't know. So.
Yeah, I see that too. And it's like, we kind of have to be up around the stand and it's in our face for the video. Like it's, you know. Be nice if it was down here, maybe 6 inches away.
So I don't know. There's something I could Google.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the Rodecaster too. One other thing on the mm-hmm. backend side, when Bethany's editing it, she has all those individual audio channels.
Yes,
you
right.
can separate them out.
Right? Exactly. You can have it record to a single track or you can have it be, you know, I think there's like 15 different tracks on there that you can have, you know, between all the buttons and the everything. So that makes it, it just makes it really professional and it's got the built-in condenser and stuff. I don't really understand audio that well. So I don't, you know, I don't quite know what all that means. And then, I think Bethany's been editing it in, I think in Premiere actually. Yeah. Cause we have the video side of it too. So
you underestimate my power.
Okay. I'll stop.
And for that, we shoot video just on our iPhones or on Mark's Android.
Ugh. God forbid.
Okay. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
What's Brannick like in real life?
Brannick.
I believe this question is in reference to Brannick Wykes of Aereo. I think the only person in the world named Brannick.
Yeah, I was like, do you know another?
No, I've never heard of another Brannick. He's very nice. And I think that he is exactly his public persona, not that he's a big public person, but if you've seen him speak on stage or you've, you know, heard him on the podcast or whatever, that's just how he is.
Yeah.
Stand-up, nice guy.
Tease him, right? Make fun of him before we met him at the first PMRE. Because, you know, he looks like a 14-year-old kid.
On
the early area stuff. Who are these young kids? And then we met him. It was like, wow, you know, very intelligent, articulate.
Yeah, exactly. We love Brannick. So that's what he's like.
Yeah.
Lovable. What has been the most rewarding part and the hardest part about scaling your business?
The two separate questions there, yeah.
Yeah, two sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, you want to answer this one?
Well, I mean, we didn't scale the business for me.
That's a good one. That's the best one, I think.
More quality time with your...
The rewarding part. I think I would say kind of the most rewarding part in a way. I mean, there's a few things. There's so many good things about it actually that it's hard to pick one. But one that I like is actually having people around, you know, and we've talked so much about the loneliness of this that can grip this industry, and to feel like you're part of a team and leading a team, and then having those people on your team and watching them grow and, you know, learn on the job and get things out of it. I think that's been pretty rewarding.
Yeah. That was the first thing that popped in my mind is like, you know, you're building something bigger than yourself. Like I felt like I was just hitting a ceiling before.
Right.
And I had all the stress, like I've talked about many times. It felt like more like a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd reach the ceiling and I didn't want to grow anymore. I didn't want my phone to ring. And I was just like, no more.
Right.
And then now I feel like the ceiling's like wide open. We have a team, we're continuing to build that team, and you're just building something that's so much bigger with so much more opportunity than just you and your camera.
Yeah.
What about the worst?
The hardest
what was
part?
It the hardest?
The hardest part. It's almost not the same. It's, you know, the other side of that coin is I think managing people is the hardest.
Yeah.
We've had a good run. I mean, but we've had some issues with our team, not major ones, but enough where it's like, you know, you have to address it. And we had to let one person go and, you know, it's like that it's hard. I mean, just, you know, managing and interacting with people are hard. And bringing in more people. Also, I think, you know, managing our clients is hard too. Is like the more clients you have, the more clients you have to manage.
Everything multiplies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me is letting go. Because it's just like, did something a certain way for 7 years and the photos have to be this way. And this email has to be written in this way. And I have to interact with the client in this way. And like,
right.
You can't possibly grow if you're holding on to that so tightly. And that's like, you know, a lot of us in this industry are kind of solo people that we just want to do things a certain way and we're perfectionists or whatever. Right. And it's just like, that's a continuing challenge, even 3 years in, but it's, you know, that's what allows the good part that we just talked about is building that team and something bigger than yourself. You can't possibly do that if you're holding on so tight to that stuff and trying to control everything.
Well, and good case in point is just you on your recent trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had, maybe you can speak a little bit about it here, but you kind of told us that it was like, man, it was the most disconnected you had ever been from the business.
Yeah. I mean, I was physically so far away and I switched off all notifications and I knew you guys could find me if you needed me and that you would do the best to handle things and not contact me, which you did an amazing job at.
A little too good, I guess.
Yeah. But it was just like, and for me being so far away from my parents and my parents getting older, it's just like that time with them is like so precious.
Mm-hmm.
That to just be able to do that and not be constantly just like looking at my phone the whole time and just like really like dig in and have that quality time was just huge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's just no way that I could have done that before.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think that we, you know, that first year we were together when we took vacations, we did that. We turned off the notifications, we turned off everything else. And then I feel like since then we've been worse at that.
Yeah.
That you're just like, well, you just get back in the habit of always checking the stuff. And
it's
then,
like, I'm physically away, but I'm still here and I'll do this and I'll check that and I'll whatever.
Yeah. And so I think this was a good reminder that, okay, you can take some time and just check out completely.
Yeah. That's pretty powerful to be able to have a team that you trust that much to be able to do that and come back. You know, was it perfect? No, but it's like you guys did everything that I would have done while I was gone. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we did. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think. I think. All right. Well, I think right now we're going to take a little break. And then guess what? We got actually a lot more questions. So we'll get to that right after this. Did you miss Ariel while you were gone, Mark?
I actually did a little, yeah. I missed that purple hue.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chelsea and I had a lot of quality time with Ariel while you were gone. So,
happy for you.
Yeah, it was nice. Look, using Ariel is always a nice experience.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the agreement, everyone, because we're doing an ad for them right now, so we need to say nice things about them. And it's true, though. We love Aereo. Using Aereo is a dream. Our clients love Aereo. I mean, I just had lunch with a client the other day, and they were talking about the whole download center and everything. They love it.
Yeah. So I just met a new client yesterday. I said, oh, you're going to get an email with this and this and this. You can access the photos. And they're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought I was just going to get a Dropbox link.
Yeah, super, super impressed. Mm-hmm. So if you want to impress your clients, if you want to help grow your business, go to Aereo.com and use the code UpMarket and you're going to get 15 free bonus listings. Come on, Aereo, you know it. You love it. And, you know, Brannick. They've got Brannick.
You get to see Brannick.
Yeah. What more could you ask for? All right, the question everyone has been waiting for, Mark. How is doing floor plans in Australia? And did you have to walk around the house counterclockwise?
I did, yeah. Getting back into the whole like metric system was weird. It threw me off a bit, but you know, it was rewarding.
Wow. Okay, good. Well, I mean, are people super into floor plans down there? Like, because that's what we were kind of thinking.
Yeah, they gotta be, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, they gotta be. You were just there.
My parents is the first thing they asked me when I got off the plane. Right. Like, can you do a floor plan at our house? We get lost in our house. We need a floor plan. So
that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and a great way for you to do a floor plan of your parents' house is second floor up. Of course it is. And also, you guess what? You can use it for any house, not just your parents' house. Second floor app is an easy to use app right there on your iPhone to make a floor plan. You just walk around and it's instant. Like you finish that floor plan, you can deliver it to your client right then and there if you wanted to do that. And it's got GLA square footage now meters.
There you go. And yeah. They just rolled out to the new day pass. Like if you don't want to do the whole monthly thing, you can just boom, jump in and out for a day here and there, do floor plans as you need.
Ah,
boom, man.
secondfloorapp.com/upmarket and you are going to get, if you sign up at that link, you're going to get a free month of service. Could do a ton of floor plans. You can go to Australia and back. Social media sidebar time. We're up market pod across all social media. Hey, rate review this podcast. Come on. Our reviews are lagging. Our ratings are lagging. Come on. We got to pump those up.
Yeah. We need a little more love out there from the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you loved us to send us these questions. We answered your stinking questions. Go and pay us back.
Now that you gave out the juice on your hairstylist, man, it's like, yeah, we need that.
That's right. You can find us at upmarket.media as our flagship one. Chelsea's at Feeding Beautiful. I'm at Tall Reed Fish. I don't know. That's my personal one. Mark doesn't have a personal one. Doesn't have a personal life. It's all business.
Pretty much.
So for social media, so we were again. I had lunch with a client, and we were they were talking about needing help with their social media, and this is a conversation we've been having with Chelsea, and then as a couple episodes ago when our top client Liz Donnelly was on the show. During that whole day when we recorded with her, we did talk a lot about her need for amping up her video and amping up her social media and getting herself on camera. And she wants to talk to us about, you know, I'm assuming it's going to a type of like retainer situation, mm-hmm. Where we can be creating content for her on a monthly basis. And, you know, Chelsea, you're pretty adamant. Or not adamant, but you really kind of jumping on this and seeing an opportunity for mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, I think it's a big opportunity. that we need to take hold of.
Right.
Especially for our top client like that. I mean, it's a big deal.
No, yeah. For sure.
To me, it scares me a little bit just because I know I've talked to people that have really jumped all in on this, and it's just like it ends up being so much work.
Yeah.
Well,
here's the idea, Mark. Now that I think we can talk about it in front of you, is that, well, Chelsea could shift some of her time to doing that because she has an interest.
No, we talked about that. Oh, and I think that's smart.
Room for that.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like, we do it for a select few clients where it's a specific service for a couple of VIP clients where we don't want to take on 30, 40 retainer clients.
Right. Well, I mean, we could, that's the thing is we could scale it if we wanted to, but we can't do that now. No. And so,
Start small.
I worry about it because it does take a lot of time that it takes away from the admin stuff, which is both good and bad, right? It lets Chelsea kind of spread her wings a little bit, but then it also, puts a burden on me and Mark in terms
right.
of
someone else has got to do it. Right?
We're, hiring more admin help, which I think would be tricky. So, So I think it's always like we always need to be thinking and about not only our social media but what the social media needs of our clients are and how we can as a media company kind of jump in and help them.
Yeah, because they're all going to their conferences, they're connecting with other agents, and they're saying, "Oh, I like the way this guy did his video," and they all want to like jump on board with this stuff.
It's and we're gonna have an episode coming up that is kind of focused on this, partially. Mm-hmm. Because it is a topic that I think warrants a lot more discussion as we because it's also a way to kind of diversify your revenue.
That's true. Outside of just listings, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Your same client base, but generating additional different revenue out of it. So we'll keep our eye on that and update accordingly in future social media sidebars. So stick around. We have more listener questions. And then of course, come on, we're going to end this thing with action items. You know it. It's our trademark. It's the end of every show. Action items. All right, let's fire up some more listener questions. Mm-hmm. This is a DM that I've gotten a version of actually many times, so I'm glad that I can take an opportunity to answer it here. It says, "Hi, are you looking for a real estate video editor that you can partner with in the long term that is cost effective, starts with $25, slightly negotiable, but also can maintain good communication, have accuracy to details, uniqueness, and talented and professional people?" No.
Wow. Okay.
No.
Next question.
Dear sir, madam. Yeah, I was going to put it out there.
When you are looking to hire someone, how do you figure out who to hire? How do you settle on a candidate? Mm. Excellent question, because we're currently in the process of interviewing people and hopefully hiring some people.
That is a good one. Yeah. And you guys discussed it with Liz on our other podcast, The Real VC, when she was talking about expanding her team and how does she find people to join her team. And it's just like, when you're such a small team, like every person like kind of comes to you in a unique way. And it's obviously they have to have certain qualifications, but even that, to the point where we're shooting now, it's like, if you don't really know your way around the camera, we can train all of that stuff.
Right. Right. But I think in this batch of who we're looking at, the people who didn't have any photo experience, we kind of cut out immediately. Because we got enough candidates this time that with photo experience, that we could just kind of focus on them. So I guess just to how we get our pool of candidates is, our social networks, like our friends or our employees or, people, they'll recommend people to us. And that's really a good way to kind of have that first vetting of somebody. And then, we also then put out a job posting on Indeed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
one photographer, one videographer.
Right.
And then I just pulled the resumes from there and delete the posts before we have to pay for them.
Oh, wow. That's system. Our hack.
Look at us. Nice. Wow. And I feel like this time around, we got a couple dozen people at least, right? That were like,
somewhere a little too overqualified, I think. But it's good to have them.
And we're close enough to LA that we get a lot of people from the industry or DPs or whatever. Like, I could do that on the side. And it feels like.
Yeah. Well, and so what we'll do is we'll get all the applicants, and then the ones that we like, we'll try to set up like a 15-minute Zoom call with. Mm-hmm. That then you can kind of tell them a little bit about what our business is like, and then we can kind of get a gauge on who they are and, mm-hmm. and you know, how they present themselves basically.
Yeah. And that's what our morning tomorrow is going to be, right? We have a bunch of them lined up, and it's like, one of the first questions we always ask is, oh, have you taken a look at our website? Do you know what we do?
Right.
And that's always like a good indication if they're just like, you know, throwing stuff against the wall and going for any job they can, or if they're actually invested in this industry or they care or they're.
Right. Or have just done due diligence to look at the damn website of the place you're applying for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's like we set up these little things that are like little tests, I guess, along the way, and red flags.
Yeah. I always forget about that question, but Mark is very, very good about asking that. So, you know, after that, so I think we have 4 of those calls set up tomorrow. Then we will just, you know, hopefully we can cull a couple people out of that and not have to, and kind of not have them move further along. And then we would do an in-person kind of interview meeting with just Mark and I. You know, usually like meet at a coffee shop or something.
Yeah.
And then,
Then it's, we're like pretty much ready to hire at that, like before the in-person. And that's just kind of what we call the vibe check, or the hang out. Like, do they show up on time?
Yeah.
Are they well presented, and you know, the little things.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Cause that's what happened with Marco, with Nikki, with Jay. Like by the time we got to the in-person, it was like, we were already kind of there.
Right. And so, and that's really it. And then when you have like 2 really qualified candidates. And I remember we had, with Chelsea, we talked to 2 people. Mm-hmm. Remember there was another one and we liked her too.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever knew that.
No, I think so. Yeah,
I don't think I did.
I don't think I met them in person, but we had,
that's right. Yeah. You kind of left it to me. Did you meet Mark before we hired you?
Yeah.
Well, at the meeting when I sat down with you guys.
That was kind of the last official light.
I was wondering if that was one of your tests.
This is a test.
I remember. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm. Right. It was a job interview and you got a cocktail. Well, I mean, we just wanted to set the.
I said yes.
We wanted to set the tone for the company right away.
It was an interesting interview because it was like peak COVID and we were all like masked up and like I couldn't really get a gauge on you. I was like, interesting. Well,
no, we were outside.
We were outside sitting on the patio.
You had this fancy like leather black mask. I was like, oh.
It was silk. Yeah, not silk. Okay. I'm not that intense.
So when you have 2 qualified candidates, and we did at that time, there was this other woman, I can't remember her name, and it was just like, I think it would have been okay with her, but then it was just something just said Chelsea, you know, it was just like, oh, it was just, you just go with your gut.
Right. I mean, it's beyond the resume at that point. It's just like, you know, it's all the intangible things that you can't even like put your finger on really.
Yeah. And your gut is usually right, but that doesn't mean it works out. Cause I think in my gut, I felt good about everyone we've hired.
Yeah. And then, you know, talking to other people in our industry who haven't been as lucky as us too, or have hired someone or hired a shooter who's taken half their client, and people you know, that can burn you, and that can really make you recoil and be like, this is not working or whatever. Right. But I feel like we have gotten lucky, but.
Yeah. So, I just think if it's, you know, the person, like, I want to like hire a person that I want to hang out with. You know, and not that I want to be best friends with them, but I want to be able to like, if it feels easy to be around them, then that's how your client is going to feel too.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause they're interfacing with our clients so much. And then it's just kind of the vibe. And like you said, it's do they show up on time? Do they, all these little things that you can look at.
Yeah. So stuff that you can't really train. It's just an intrinsic quality that person brings to the table. Like, that's what I'm looking for all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Question. If my photographer takes a photo with the toilet seat up, is that a fireable offense?
That's funny. I say it is when I train new people. That is fireable.
You do?
Oh, yeah. That's like 101.
You know, it's a reprimand. I don't think it's fireable because remember, if they do that, it's our fault because we didn't train them well enough, right?
So of course we're not going to fire them over one toilet seat. We might fire them over 20 toilet seats.
It's a joke question, I think. But I do think it is worth remembering that, you know, if they are making those kind of mistakes, then it's on you to give them the tools to correct them. And if they can't, then either you're not doing a good enough job or they just, you know, they just can't hack it.
Yeah. So if they're not picking it up, they're, you know, then provide them a written shot list that they have to go, you know, walk through this, and this.
Yeah. It doesn't always work in our experience. How do you pay your shooters, per job or hourly? Is it set the same for each shooter?
So yeah, we've talked about many times, we have employees, so we do pay them hourly.
Right.
When we first bring them on, we have them on a training rate until they're able to go out into the field and shoot by themselves. They've required their Part 107 license.
Right.
And we can send them out to basically do Matterport photos, drone. Mm-hmm. And then we bump up their pay. But it's, yeah, it's always based hourly, mm-hmm. but we do have a minimum. So we do pay them 2 hours minimum per day. If they just have one shoot, it's a little condo, it takes them 45 minutes, we're still going to pay them the 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also reimburse mileage, and then we give stipends or reimbursements, sorry, for a portion of their cell phone and home internet stuff, because those are tools they need to do their job. And so we should supply those.
Yeah. So it ends up being, you know, significantly more than just the hourly when you factor in the mileage and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's, and then if they're driving to and from shoots, then that is also paid time. And so, you know, it's, and then of course we pay overtime and we, you know, follow all the labor laws and, you know, have a payroll system, Gusto, which I'll link to in the show notes. And you can get like $100 if you use our code or something. Is it the set rate for each shooter? No. Is it equal? No, not always. I mean, we kind of start at a certain place and then people can, as they go on, we give raises.
Right. And then Marco kind of came to us as a video guy and we trained him on, so he was able to go and do everything all at once, like pretty quickly.
Right.
Or someone else comes and we do photo and then they up, you know, slowly.
Yeah, right. So if they're adding, if we're adding video to it, yeah, we pay a little bit more once you can do some video as well. What have you found to be the best way to get new clients? I think the best way is word of mouth.
I was just going to say the same.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where we get all our new clients.
Yeah. I have a little more granular detail on this because I looked this morning to see how many clients we've gotten since the start of the year.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to quiz you guys again. Do you think?
Oh yeah, we did that. We did that in our, at the end of last year.
It's fun to know the answer when no one else does, but I feel we're
sitting here with this today. We're recording this on leap day, February 29th. So, do they have that in Australia? Yeah.
We're 2 months in, right? 8 weeks in.
Right. Yeah. We're two months in. So I'm guessing 12.
What do you think, Chelsea? You see it, you put them in the area, so you should have a feel.
I think it's more than that. I'd say like 25.
Yeah. Pretty close. Like 19 is what I counted.
Wow.
So that's, it's more than two a week in the slow time of the year.
Yeah.
But I just kind of ran through the names. I'm like, this person joined this brokerage and that brokerage uses us exclusively. So that's how we got them.
I feel like every call I've gotten, it's been so-and-so told me. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is like, I'm friends with this agent and he told me to call you because I'm from out of town. I don't know anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Then another person who booked like the full package with the cinematic twilight and everything. I've been seeing you guys on Instagram for years. You do great work. I finally got a listing down here.
Right.
Couldn't wait to use you.
Right. Right.
So it runs the gamut. Like those 19 people didn't all come from the same place. They come, some found us on our website. So our SEO is working.
Right.
Some found us through social and we're not, we're not killing it on social, but we do enough that we have a presence and we put out good stuff.
Yeah. We have a lot of followers.
Yeah. And we have a lot of word of mouth. We have a brokerage deal. So there's, it's hard to say one thing. It's just, it's kind of like the full circle, but I feel like the biggest thing we have going for us for that is our reputation.
For sure.
Yeah.
That we've built, over 10 years. If you're a new shooter, you don't have that. So you got to double down on the other stuff, the in-person and all the other stuff.
Yeah. And I do think that, I'm really a big advocate after this last year of in-person stuff too, because that is really, I think, to move the needle as well for us. And the reputation just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And the more clients you have, the more reputation you have and the more people they can tell. To just getting out there and face to face. I mean, that's really the most effective way, of converting. And then especially if you're at those realtor events, they also see that, a lot of the other realtors. So you have that kind of social,
proof.
Social proof. So there is no one best way, but there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
A lot of things you can do. Have you shared in a podcast episode or elsewhere about how you priced your large Matterport projects? I don't think we have.
Maybe we did back in our.
No, I don't think we ever said. I don't think we ever said it. So, I think it ends up being kind of a not. A, somewhat standard for what people charge on these kind of, and when I think of a big Matterport project, we're talking like, you know, commercial or industrial, and it's like at least 10,000 square feet.
Yeah. What are some of the bigger places? Like, what's the biggest place we ever did? Do you remember the square footage on it? It was like
40,000.
Yeah. That's what I was like, almost 50,000 or something. It was huge.
We'd like to try to get 10 cents a square foot. Obviously, I mean, that's really good. But of course it really comes down to, getting as much as you can, because once you're at a 10,000 square foot Matterport, it's probably going to take you all day anyway, or, you know, for the most, or it's going to be a travel thing or whatever. So you just need to figure out what is the, you know, how much do you need to, for a day?
Yeah.
Basically.
Like once and a then day
just
rate,
try to get like gravy on top of it. So, you know, and if people are doing a few of those bigger projects, we'll, of course, you know, the rate will go down. I mean, and we've done them for 5 cents a square foot. And if the space is big enough, you know, it still is a nice payday.
Yeah. And it sometimes depends if we're hosting it or they're hosting it, or, you know, cause the bigger spaces take up more than just one space on your plan. It takes up multiple, and that kind of factors into it. But I mean, working with square foot, it just makes sense, cause the bigger it is, the longer it takes, the more scans. So it's just,
But then you can also, on top of that, charge like a you know, an extra hosting fee or anything, you know, you can, and usually on those big projects, you're dealing as a subcontractor for somebody. So they're just not quite as usually as price sensitive, because they're bigger corporations and stuff. So we've, you know, and if they are, they'll say, oh no, it's, we got to do it for this. And you say, you either say yes or no. And
Yeah. You just don't know if you're going into a competitive situation with another provider. So it's like, it's good to try to get details of, if you can, what their budget is or what's the timeline, or, you know, what are the pain points for them?
Right. All right. Do you guys do in-house video editing? Not anymore, really.
No, we really don't. Unless it's a specific project outside of the norm of the kind of bread and butter real estate, then we're just sending everything out at this point.
We used to.
Yeah. We used to only do in-house video editing. And then, and now, you know, we'll do it. We have, now that Marco's back in the fold, I mean, he's a good editor. And so I think we've given him a few videos to do that are just like kind of real estate videos. Just because it was either a special project or a special type of video, or just really needed a little finer touch. Cause I think the outsourcing the video editing has worked pretty well, but you know, it's just not quite as good. And we've talked about it on the podcast, and we've been able to get them to be a little bit better, but, we haven't been 100%.
I'm feeling like they're definitely better now than they were even when we discussed this a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And we're extending our videos out because we were just cramming too much footage into them. And there's a few things we're doing where our product, I feel like, is getting.
Yeah. We had one of our big broker clients, the deal with them was we produced 30 seconds exactly for a video, and it was just too short. As much as we preach about short content, it was like, you're just at these houses and our shooters are just getting, you know, too much footage, but it's not like they need to get that footage because there's going to be a complaint if it's not in there. And so, you know, it ended up that like all the shots are like 1 second long and, you know, and it just was too choppy. And
very choppy.
Yeah. Once we said, hey, no, let's just do 45 seconds. Cause the editing charge for the 30 or 45 second video is the same. So it's like, well, let's do the 45 second. And then, man, that just unlocks it to be able to breathe into it a little bit.
Yeah. 100%. You know, we had Dustin before, and he was our editing guru, and he did all of his own stuff and some of Marco's and some of ours. But, and then we went to kind of the hybrid model, and now we're kind of fully switched over to outsourcing. Yeah,
because once we lost both Dustin and Marco, we didn't have anyone who could edit.
Yeah.
You know, so we had to make that happen.
Yeah,
we had to make that happen. And then, you know, again, no one cared.
And it's, you know, it's what's interesting or what I love about what our editors do is their turnaround time on video is I can send them something at midnight and it's like, they're like 6-7. It's like less than 8 hour turnaround on video, which is like, as we've kind of shopped around and looked at other options, it's like no one can really match that. The industry standard is kind of 24 hours. So it's almost like we're spoiled and we've spoiled our clients to the point where like, if we suddenly switch to doing 24 hour delivery, they'd be like, whoa, where's the, you know, be going backwards, and that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Related, can you share who your editors are?
I get that one a fair amount.
No.
I would love to, cause we love them. But to put it out on this, I think it's just too many people and they can't handle, I mean, I just know that they can't handle, a ton, ton more work. I mean, as much as I do want to get them more work, I want them to be successful, but we have to kind of walk that balance.
Yeah. So. They haven't asked us specifically not to, but it's like, they're at the, you know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can tell. Mm-hmm. We can tell. Is PMRE actually good / fun / worth going to, or are you guys just shills? I'm a shill for certain things, but PMRE is not one of those. No, PMRE is awesome. Like legit.
It's funny to think about our PMRE journey when we go back to the very first time. And I knew about it before you even knew it was a thing, right. I think. And I was like, that'd be fun. Yeah. There were some other photographers in town that I've worked with before. Oh, we should go to that. Yeah. And then it's like, never really invested in it. And then I think you kind of talked me into going to the first time.
Right. Yeah. And we went for the first time in 2022. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been to three.
No, 2021. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been to three already. Yeah. And it was, you know, the first one, it was great. It was, the presenters were really good and we got some good stuff out of it. But it was, as we've talked about, just like the community and the people we've met. Yep. And I remember you saying, I'm going to be up on that. So I was like, okay, dude, whatever you say. And then sure enough, the next year you were up on that stage and it has really transformed our business and opened up opportunities that you don't even think about.
Well, and again, and it goes back to, that first question was, or the most rewarding part of scaling. I mean, it's like building the community in our business and then kind of then coming out and being a part of that community as well. Mm-hmm. And knowing people all over the country who do this same kind of work. And, you know, you can obviously get to know those people in the Facebook groups, but there's nothing like being in person. And
yeah, we all operate in such a bubble, and it's just like to burst that bubble at PMRE is like pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, and the content there is really great too. I mean, I just had, we had some rain out days and, you know, cause we have the on-demand, for PMRE. If you go, you get that. And so I had Nikki and Marco go back and watch some of the presentations and they both felt like, oh man, I learned so much from those, you know? So a lot of the conference is geared towards, business owners, but I think there is a lot of content there that your shooters can use too.
Yeah. So, even Chelsea enjoyed that, right?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah,
of course. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got to see.
It was a lot more fun than I thought.
We got to see if we're gonna get you out there this year. But we'll have a lot more talk about PMRE because we have. Yeah, we're gonna as the official podcast of PMRE. That is us. We are. Mm-hmm. We got to have that in our tagline. We are gonna bring back the Road to PMRE episodes this year, and we're gonna have some special twists. There's some very exciting things.
That road is like a longer road this year, right? Because we have a third day. There's more guests. It's just everything's getting bigger.
Exactly. So we will have, coming at the beginning of April, we're going to, have some special announcements.
That's
on,
fun,
on the
yeah.
podcast. I'm excited. Have you guys spoken about the ins and outs of broker deals? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's time for our action.
We have at least one episode, right? The deal, the big deal, the big, or something we did.
No, that was about Matterport.
Mm-hmm. No, but it was also brokers. We talked about it in the back half of that episode, one of those episodes.
Mark, encyclopedia over here.
We definitely did.
Encyclopedia Mark. We've talked about it a little bit. I guess that's probably not the question. The question is probably, will you talk about the ins and outs of broker deals?
Either give me the episode or just repeat it, right?
I mean, it's been rewarding. It's been challenging, though, too. I mean, I just had a check-in. Really, I want to say at this point, we have one broker deal. The other one that we've kind of been talking about,
it's a broker arrangement, I guess, not a broker deal.
It just has, I feel like, fallen a little flat. Mm-hmm. Like we haven't really gotten much from it. But our one kind of classic broker deal where this brokerage pays for, the media for their agents, at least they pay for photos and a video, on every listing, has been quite lucrative. And, even though, in their words, we give them a screaming deal, but we do not charge our regular rates for it, but the volume is enough where it's like it's still quite worth it. It goes back to the relationships. I mean, that's really all it is. I mean, that's where that kind of it's the reputation and it's the in person marketing. It's the in person marketing. So it's like getting to know who the decision makers are at the brokerages, and then getting in their face, not in their face, but like getting getting a seat at the table with them and
becoming a person where they can really see building, because you're building their business as you're building your own. So they want to partner with you. And are you a person they can trust? Do they like you? Are you reliable? Can you provide the content? Is your team big enough to handle that kind of
And so the reputation really matters in that context, because part of what the broker is looking at is, you know, remember, their whole thing is they're trying to attract and retain agents. And so you are actually a carrot that they dangle. You say, oh, we have an exclusive arrangement with Upmarket Media. You know, Upmarket Media, And then, you know, we pay for it. They do all our stuff and we pay for it. It's like, man, that's a real enticement to people.
Yeah, if you're shopping to brokerages and you get all your media covered, like that's pretty awesome.
And I had a conference call with a couple of the admin team over there and one of the decision maker yesterday. And they said, hey, you know, this deal with you guys, and it's been almost a year, has been one of the best business decisions we've made. It's like, you guys make our life easier. You produce great stuff. It's like, they were so happy that they were with us. And
they mentioned Chelsea specifically, right? Cause they absolutely have, you know, they can contact her at any time when we're in the field, and that's a huge benefit.
Absolutely. And one of the things, though, is you can get that deal, but you still have to nurture it and manage it. And so you have to have those check-ins with people. And this is the brokerage that was doing the 30-second videos. And yesterday, I just told them on the phone, I said, hey, I know you said you wanted 30 seconds, but can we make them 45? You know, assuming they would say yes, right? But it's a brokerage where they have very specific things. You know, everything has a rule. And so I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to break some rule of their parent company. And yeah, they were like, oh, that's great. Yeah. And so that was just a value add that we gave them.
Can we give you more value? They're like, no, these guys are awesome.
Exactly.
And what's interesting, like you kind of had, before we merged, you had kind of a loose, like, not loose, but you had an arrangement with them, but it was.
I was just on their you were vendor list.
Preferred vendor, But it was like more just for photos, and we were, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
But because of that relationship, and when they came to the table, like, we need video, we need this and this on every listing.
Yeah.
Then it was like, boom, because we were already in that position.
Then
it allowed us to kind of grow it into something.
That's it's a relationship really that I've been working on for years, you know, and not realizing that it could ever get to where it's gotten. But, you know, you just got to know the right people and know who the right people are, and then kind of get on their radar. So, man. And, you know, and when you do that, it's, you have to take action. And good people today, our action items have a sponsor. Once again, Pixel CRM. That's P-I-X-L C-R-M. Unlock the full potential of your real estate media business with Pixel CRM, the all-in-one CRM and marketing platform built by a real estate photographer for real estate photographers and media professionals. Pixel CRM is designed to help you attract and retain clients through marketing systems and automation. If you go to pixelcrm.com/upmarket, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial. Pixel CRM. We've been using it. We like it.
Yeah. I just want to throw out, like, their customer service, like Pete and his team are awesome. They're on top of stuff. If you need help with anything, then you want them to walk you through something. They have weekly check-ins, Facebook groups. They're like there to help you and guide you. They're awesome.
Yeah. They're on it.
Totally on it. You're almost like, man, dude, you don't have to be so on it. No, we want them to be on it. Thanks, Pixel CRM. Chelsea. Go first.
I'm going first. Yeah. Okay. Mine might not be attainable for everyone, but it just made me think of it when we were talking about it. If you haven't already done it, I think you should buy that ticket for PMRE.
Oh, you can't buy them yet.
Oh, okay. Well, save up, find a way to make it happen. Be there this year, burst that bubble. Right. You know, get to know your fellow people and just really see how you can up your game all around with your network, with your friends, with your business.
I'm in. All right.
Nice. What do you got, Reed?
Mark segued himself to go last. Mm-hmm. All right. Perfect. mine, this is a little weird, maybe, but I think I just want you to not forget about one aspect of your value to your clients. And it's something that I don't think we talk about enough to our clients. And it was just related to me because I I know. I had to photograph the other day. And I took the shoot on myself, though, because it was a good friend of mine's. It was their house, and the agent was, you know, hired us. And so I wanted to do a good job. And this is the text I got back after my friend saw the photos. All caps. Wow. They look amazing. Fucking great. That sunset was perfect.
Boom.
Look at his head.
I know. I tend to take a deep breath for that one.
Yeah.
That feels good, right?
And perfect, all with like 5 exclamation points.
Beautiful.
And here's the thing. It's like, and obviously I'm an amazing photographer and the whole thing, but the point of that, just kidding. It was that, the reaction of the homeowners to the media is something that makes the agent look good. And so I think when we can relate the feedback that we have gotten from homeowners to our agents, that reinforces the value that we bring. Mm-hmm. And so I think make a point to, you know, add that to the thing that when you talk about what you provide to agents, you know, add in that the homeowners love what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a couple agents that will shoot me texts or forward me stuff. And it's like, oh, that feels good. Cause yeah. they feel good about hiring us and using us, and their client's stoked. And it's just like a win-win.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Mark.
Okay. Ready for my action. Yeah. So my action item is take a vacation.
Oh,
because it was, and not to down, but it was pretty life-changing for me personally to take that vacation.
This last one.
Yeah. Just because what we've spoken about, the way that I was able to fully unplug.
Right.
And to even think a year or two back or 3 years back before the merger, that would have been completely impossible.
Right.
So even if it's just not even the vacation, it's just the process of taking the vacation. Like if you think, oh, could I take 2 weeks off of my business right now?
Right.
And if you can't, then maybe your business isn't, you know, not solid. It's just something that you're doing with a camera.
Right.
It's not really a business that's fully self-sustainable without you. So just that thought process of, could I plan a vacation and what do I need to put in place to make that happen? It's a lot of things. You need to have admin help, shooter help. You need to have people that you can trust, because if outside of the vacation, what if you get injured and you're out for 2 weeks? What if someone in your family's sick and you got to go for 2 weeks? Like, can your business run without you for 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet it was also just a mindset shift, right? It's kind of it's refreshing to come back.
And total refresher. Yeah. I just, because that for me personally, that's one of the big guilts or one of the things that I carry with me is like raising my kids away from my parents and having this separate life from them and running my business and doing that whole thing. Right. So to be able to step away and have that time and then come back. Now I'm like, okay, I feel good about that now. I can jump back into the business full force.
Is this your way of saying you're moving to Australia?
We have talked about it a little bit.
Drop the bike.
Yeah. No, not realistic for us at this point, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we could pull it off if we had to or wanted to or whatever. So it's that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. And I think that was one thing I did want to add, you know, back in the earlier question is that is one of the big rewards of scaling the business is it's very rewarding to see, you know, how we, you know, our lives are better. Right. And mm-hmm. we both have been able to take time and get away from the business and not have to worry about it. So,
yeah. I mean, you too, like, not to bring up your mom again, but your mom got really sick last year and you needed to be with her and you were able to go and do that and just like unplug and be where you needed to be. And that's amazing.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. it was good. It was good. And so it's, it's good. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks everyone for submitting questions.
Yeah. Some good questions.
We'll do, you know, this should be, you know, we can do more of these if we get more questions. So if you ever have questions, just DM us and we'll file them. We'll probably answer them over the DM and then we'll file them away. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Until next time. Upmarket is a production of Upmarket Studios. This episode was produced by Chelsea Froelich and edited by Bethany Diedrich. Thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you listen to the next one too. In the meantime, our wish for you is to not have to shoot any Friday night Twilight shoots. Thank you for everything.